probably not a person here that's not familiar with what Mark 16, verses 15 and 16 say. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. J.M. McCaub wrote a song, song number 555 in this book, entitled The Gospel Is For All. The song reads, of one the Lord has made the race, through one has come the fall. Where sin is gone must go his grace, the gospel is for all. Say not the heathen are at home, beyond we have no call. For why should we be blessed alone? The gospel is for all. Receive ye freely, freely give, from every land they call. Unless they hear, they cannot live. The gospel is for all. The blessed gospel is for all. The gospel is for all. Where sin has gone, must go his grace. The gospel is for all. That's what I want to talk to you about today. The gospel is for all. There's only one word in the Bible that defines where preaching is to be done. It's a single word, everywhere. The Bible tells us that Jesus' disciples, before his crucifixion, went through the towns preaching the gospel everywhere. Luke 9 and in verse 6. Jesus Christ, prior to his ascension to heaven, told his disciples, as we read, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And he said, be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth, in Acts 1 and in verse 8. The gospel indeed is for all. But the gospel must be preached. It's not enough for the gospel to have just been revealed or given to men. It's not enough just to have our Bibles sitting on a coffee table somewhere. The gospel is to be preached because of what preaching does. We focus our study on what preaching does as we think about the gospel is for all. Preaching, first of all, saves. First and foremost, it saves. God was pleased through what's called the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You remember that from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1? Somebody said, I don't know about that foolishness of preaching. Well, that's from man's perspective, not God's. In 1 Corinthians 1 and in verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, here's the difference, it is the power of God. You see, to some, preaching is foolishness. There'd be some who'd say what we're doing right now is foolishness. But to those who are saved, we know better. We know different. It is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I'll bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And then he said, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You might like to underline in your Bible the words to save. point is, preaching saves. By the foolishness of preaching, as some people would think of it. As he had said earlier, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But in reality, what is it? It is the power of God. Preaching the power of God saves. That's the point. Is it just the act of preaching that saves? I'm preaching today. Does that save? No. Preaching alone, just the activity of preaching, doesn't save. That would rule out everything else that a man has to do, like be baptized for the remission of his sins. It's the substance of the testimony, is what I'm getting at. What's preached? What's taught? What's believed? And what is obeyed? The gospel is the power of God to save, isn't it? We all remember the statement of the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. As Paul talked about being ready, he said, "I am ready to preach the gospel to those of you who are at Rome." And he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God." That is reminiscent of what we read a moment ago in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It is the power of God. "It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And then he went on to say, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The gospel is God's power to save. God has no power to save today men other than the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached. As Paul stated to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as he spoke at length about the gospel, he said, "I declare unto you the gospel," in verse 1. He said in verse 2, "by which also ye are," see that next word, "saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." You add all that up, what do we have? Preaching saves. The testimony, the substance of the testimony, the preaching of the Word of God, heard, believed, and obeyed, saves. Remember Acts chapter 11, as we've been studying through the book of Acts in our Bible classes? Why did God send the preacher in Acts 11 and in verse 14? The Scripture tells us, "Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved?" You see, without the messenger, the message cannot be heard. Faith, we're taught in the Scriptures, comes by hearing, doesn't it? And hearing by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 and in verse 17. Let's take a look at that for just a moment, at Romans chapter 10. There's several other things I'd like for us to note there. Back to verse 8. "And what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart," that is, the word of faith, "which we preach." You might notice the connection between preaching. And verse 14. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" And then verse 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Indeed, the gospel is for all. Why is it that the gospel needs to be preached everywhere? Because preaching saves. It needs to be preached here, in this city, in its purity and in its simplicity. But it needs to be preached everywhere because of what preaching does. It saves. It saved folks in Samaria in Acts 8 and in verse 12. It saved folks like you and me in Iconium in Acts 14 and in verse 1. In Achaia in Acts 18 and in verse 8. Many believed on the Lord as a result of His preaching and teaching in John 8 and in verse 30. And the same seed sown today can have the same results because of God's intent for preaching. Preaching and teaching saves. But that's not all. Preaching also, number two, edifies. By the word edify, we mean that it builds up. It strengthens us. Strengthens the saints in Jesus Christ who have heard, believed, and obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. The same verse that calls upon us to preach the word asks or teaches that it be done with long suffering and doctrine. That's 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 2, by the way. When you think about 2 Timothy 4 and in verse 2, I think about Paul's charge. One of the greatest charges that has ever been given to men is found in 2 Timothy 4:2. When you back up to verse 1, you see the charge, "I charge thee therefore before God," Paul told Timothy as a young evangelist, "and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and kingdom." Now what's the charge? The charge is in the next verse. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Yes, the world needs to hear about Jesus Christ. The world needs to be saved by the foolishness of preaching. But when we obey the gospel, become Christians, preaching still produces fruit in our lives as a result that it edifies us. It builds us up. It makes us strong. It helps us to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Remember those who were to be taught in Matthew chapter 28? Verses 19 and 20. We have again that commission that we call the Great Commission. It's likened to Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. When He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." But then He said, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Yes, we need to go and we need to teach all nations. And we need to baptize those that are taught in a primary sense. But what about those that are baptized into Christ? What about them observing the things of the Lord? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And always as we do that, to remember that the Lord is with us in our work. We speak unto men. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 and in verse 3, "for their edification, for their exhortation, and for their comfort." I think those are three words to remember. We speak unto men for their edification, their exhortation, and their comfort. Do we need to be built up? Is there a person that never needs to be built up? We all need to be built up, don't we? We all need to be encouraged and strengthened and made strong. That's what preaching is about and teaching is about. And as we come and as we go from this place and preaching is done, I trust that we can say that we are made stronger as servants of God. Because that's God's plan. That's what's supposed to happen. And if that isn't happening, then the kind of preaching that needs to be done isn't being done. In Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 16, you remember that the apostle talked about gifts that were given to men. And the gifts that were given to men were the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists, and the pastors, and the teachers in this particular case. And those are great gifts that were given to men. When you think about it, the Christ gave those as gifts to the church. And certainly we don't have apostles today and we don't have prophets, but what do we have today? The church did have that in its infancy, didn't it? We do have evangelists and pastors and teachers. For, what are they given for? What are these gifts given for? For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of ministry. For, look at the next one, the edifying of the body of Christ. See that? What do evangelists do? What's another term for an evangelist? A preacher? A minister? That teaches and preaches the Word of God? For the edifying of the body of Christ. And how long will this work be needed? We get to a point that we won't need preachers anymore? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, fitly jointed together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. God's plan is for each one of us to be edified, to be built up, to be made strong. God intends for that to be done through preaching of the Word of God. It's God's Word that builds us up and gives us an inheritance, according to Acts chapter 20 and in verse 32. So preaching not only saves, but it edifies. Therefore, we go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel is for all, as the song said. Because it saves and it edifies. But let's think number three about, in particular, that preaching encourages. There are a number of passages that make clear that sermons are not only to save, not only to inform and edify, but to encourage. Some come from the old, some from the new. Comfort ye my people, the Lord said. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. That's Isaiah 40, verses 1 and 2. To encourage. The Lord applied these words to his ministry. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound. The Lord applied that to his own teaching and his own preaching. That was originally from Isaiah 61 and in verse 1. Here are the words that explain God's reason for sending out preachers to Israel. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people, and on his dwelling place. That's 2 Chronicles 36 and in verse 15. What's preaching do? Preaching says, it edifies, but it encourages us. Teaching, you see, grows out of an emotion of love and grows forth to bring comfort to the sad, refreshment to the weary, and strength to the weak. Jesus had compassion on the crowds that were often before him. Mark 6, verse 34 states, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them." Why? "Because they were as sheep having no shepherd. And he began to teach them many things." Do you notice what he did? He began to teach them many things. That's how his compassion was demonstrated. He didn't just say, I really feel sorry for you. He taught them many things that they needed to hear, needed to know. Mark 6, verses 34 and 35. It is through the encouragement of Scriptures that the Bible states that we have hope in Christ. That's Romans 15 and in verse 4. You remember Barnabas? We studied in the book of Acts and we learned a lot about Barnabas. One of the things that we learned was something about his name. That his name means son of encouragement. His name is not very common today. You don't run into too many people that's named Barnabas today, do you? But wouldn't that be a great name for a young man? The name may not be common, but encouragement is a common need. We need more Barnabases today, don't we? We need encouragement. As much as we need preaching to save our soul, as much as we need preaching to edify us, to build us up, and to make us strong in the Lord, we need preaching to encourage us in that which we do in the Lord. And one more. Number four, preaching challenges. Challenges. Remember when Peter preached his sermon in Acts chapter 2, that great sermon? It left his audience cut to the heart, didn't it? In Acts 2 and in verse 37. When they heard this, that was a sermon, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" His sermon was designed to challenge them. He said, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ." What a challenge before these people. And they were pricked in their heart. Preaching is designed to prick people's hearts. It is the power of God to save. You can see that here because they said, "What shall we do?" And of course the answer came, Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You shall receive the remission of your sins, is another way of saying that. You shall receive salvation in Jesus Christ, promised through the words given by the Spirit of God. Wholehearted preaching includes preaching for a decision. You know, a lot of sermons are weighed in the balance and found wanting, we might say. When it gets the listener to maybe laugh or maybe to cry, but not to change direction. Sometime more than anything, we need to change direction. We need to repent. Isn't that what Peter said? The first word that came from his mouth, being guided by the Holy Spirit, when they said, "What shall we do?" was repent, which means to change direction, to go a different course, to walk a different walk. James challenged in James 1 and in verse 22. He said, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." And it sounds like he's saying you ought to deceive yourself. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that when you're hearers only and you're not doing, you're hearing the word but you're not doing, you're deceiving yourself. That's what he's saying. He's not saying you ought to deceive yourself. He's saying don't deceive yourself. The bottom line is be a doer of the word of God. Preaching challenges, it encourages, it edifies, and it saves. But we have to be doers of the Word of God. As we preach the Word of God, it falls on our hearts then to do the will of God. We're called upon, as Peter said in 1 Peter 1 and in verse 22, to obey the truth. Seeing you have purified your souls. How do you purify your soul, by the way? In obeying the truth. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Yes, we purify our souls. We're saved by obeying the truth. But we have to be doers of the word. We not just obey the truth to be saved from our sins. We obey the truth to be servants of God, to live a godly life from that day forward. Having an unfeigned love of the brethren, a sincere love for one another, not something artificial. Fervently, we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Preaching indeed challenges. It challenges us to obey the truth and to keep obeying the truth, day in and day out. We are challenged to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Didn't Peter do that? Challenge his audience in 2 Peter 3 and in verse 18. The very last verse of this epistle, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen," he said. What do we grow in? Well, we want to grow in grace. We want to grow in favor. We want to grow in knowledge. Knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're challenged to grow. We're challenged to study, to grow. Paul told Timothy to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 15. That means to give diligence, as some have rendered. And diligence implies effort or hard work. We're challenged to study and we're challenged to be teachers of others. As was mentioned earlier, referred to 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 2. That shows God's plan for teaching and God's plan for the continuation of teaching. As Paul wrote to his own son in the faith, he said, "My son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. Oh, the things he'd been taught, the things that he'd heard preached by Paul. The same commit thou to faithful men. You preach and teach those things. And then what about those men who shall be able to teach others also? We're challenged to teach others. You see, preaching challenges. Preaching encourages. Preaching edifies. And preaching saves. And so, indeed, as the song had said, the gospel is for all. Say not the heathen are at home. You know, some people say that. Why do you want to go over there? Why do you want to go over there and preach the gospel? We don't say that, do we? We don't say beyond we have no call. For why should we be blessed alone? The gospel is for all. Received ye freely, freely give. Unless they hear, they cannot live. The gospel is for all. It's designed to save us. And that's where we've come to in our lesson. Preaching saves because preaching preaches Christ and the salvation of Jesus Christ. It comes as a result of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, believing the gospel of Jesus Christ, repenting of our sins, confessing our faith in Jesus Christ, and obeying through baptism the gospel of Jesus Christ. As Jesus said, not only go into all the world and preach the gospel, he went on to say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. There are those this day that would desire to obey the gospel. No better time than right now. Or maybe we've obeyed, but we've failed to be faithful to the Lord. In one area or many areas. Truly, we need to repent and pray. Just as others have been told before us, that began to walk a good walk, but left. Repent and pray, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee, that we might be restored to a proper place with the Lord. That's the preaching. May it fall on good and honest hearts. And would you come while together we stand and sing?